Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You doing to protect your family's assets? The exclusive sponsor of the show, the law firm Kondorian Murad, would like to help you draft your last will and testament, set up a living trust, or put together a medical power of attorney. Schedule a consultation for free with their attorneys today at kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you, get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Grant and Danny, out and about, a Friday field trip ahead of football. It is a Football Friday on the Fan, and we are in DuPont in D.C. We're at Public Bar.
I have a long and checkered history here at Public Bar. Checkered is just my joke about me, not about the place. I've been inebriated here. I've been full here. I have been everything in between, broadcast here many times. The place has changed a little bit over the years, but it's still kind of that same vibe. It's big, huge, open space, multiple levels, all the bars, all the booze, and the food stuff you want.
They tell stories about you at Public Bar, Danny.
There was a Pudgy Zilcher got kicked out years ago for being overserved and yelling at about a boxing match.
Who was it? Do we know who
that
was?
That's my friend Quinn, but I was there too.
Yes.
Come on.
Poor Quinn catching shrapnel.
He did catch shrapnel. It was a bait. It was
that,
me.
But that wasn't very nice.
It's a bait and switch. I was the one.
Sorry, Quinn. If you're listening, Beltway Blitz today is at 4, 1 hour out. We are going to be giving away tickets to the opener for the Caps right at 4 o'clock. We got a pair of really good seats for you for the first game of the season. Got to be listening to Grant and Danny ahead of the Blitz at 4 o'clock. But right now, let's get the latest on the Chargers. Let's figure out what Washington is in store for here with this matchup out in L.A. and scout the opponent. And to help us break down the Chargers, we've got our guy Darren Haynes. You remember him from DC's Channel 9. Well, now he's a television gentleman, very handsome and well buttoned up on TV out in L.A., and he's behind enemy lines to help us get some deets on the Chargers. Darren, it's good to catch up with you, man. How you been?
Hey, what's going on, you guys? I miss you guys.
It has been a minute.
Miss you, buddy.
Ever since I moved, my phone doesn't ring anymore. I don't get the invites to come on air anymore.
It's a little different cross-country, yeah.
Absolutely. No, I'm very happy to be back on. I miss you guys.
Well, we miss chatting with you, man. It is good to talk to you again. Good to hear your voice on the airwaves. Why don't we just start with Justin Herbert? Through two games, he was matching Josh Allen as kind of the MVP candidate in the league, and I still think he's been ridiculous. But my goodness, is he getting eviscerated now. Running for his life, 50 pressures last couple of games, been hit over 20 times, I think I saw as well. What do you make of how he's played the first quarter of the season?
Well, obviously, like you mentioned, Justin Herbert was playing at an outstanding level. But the big reason why is because he was also being protected and he wasn't getting hit as much. Now we have the offensive line issues. And since, you know, Joe Alt, one of their first-round draft picks a couple years ago, who's literally like the foundation on this offensive line, that left tackle that protects that blind side, things have just been going downhill in regards to the passing game or protecting Justin Herbert. And so that's why you've seen some of the picks that Herbert has thrown. That's why you see him getting hit. And then the offensive productivity is not as good. They need to figure something out because you can't run the ball without a good offensive line. You definitely can't pass the ball without having that protection. And it is a big concern. They've worked out a few guys to try to see if they can step up. But when you're missing two of your key pieces and Joe Alt on the left side with the ankle injury, and then Rashawn Slater, who got injured before the season even started, he was the highest paid lineman at right tackle. It's a lot of concerns for this Chargers offense, and it'll be a blessing for you guys out in D.C.
The receivers, on the other hand, I want to get to Quentin Johnson most specifically, but even without tremendous production from Ladd McConkey, it feels like this passing game, I know last week wasn't as strong, because I know you referenced why, Darren, because of that offensive line, but still these receivers are all of a sudden, Keenan Allen's on, you know, the 2.0 version that's come back to the Chargers. He's been brilliant, and Johnson's been so good. I mean, how are they doing this?
Well, let's start with Quentin Johnson. I talk to him a lot, and I'm always telling him, keep your head up, keep your head up. You know what you're capable of doing, and now it's finally, we're seeing the dividends on why they drafted him in the first round. I mean, he is a deep ball threat, and especially going against your Washington defense, which the pass defense isn't necessarily that good. He should be a big concern for you guys, especially on that deep ball, but he has been everything what the Chargers drafted him to be. Obviously, he's up there in regards to ranking in the top five in, like, receiving yards. So he's a huge threat. And then Ladd McConkey has been literally consistent since day one, since he came from Georgia. This is a guy who's out of that slot position, who seems to always be open. He's like that always reliable guy. Like, and then one thing I think about is that Keenan Allen. Some people are like, Keenan Allen's back. Keenan Allen never really, like, his career never went down. He just went on sabbatical for 1 year in Chicago, and then he came back. This guy is still playing like he's 25 years old. He's not the fastest guy in the field, but he finds a way to get open. And he told me he's having the time of his life. He is an absolute threat. He still thinks he's the best in the league, and nobody can guard him.
I want to go back to Quentin Johnston for a moment. We're talking to Darren Haynes, who covers the Chargers out in Los Angeles to scout L.A. for us on Grant and Danny. For a couple of years, we were trending toward major bust territory with Johnston. It just wasn't happening. He was dropping the football, wasn't separating, wasn't that utilized. And now you fast forward, and this is a guy who's caught 10 of 15 targets against man for .147 and 3 touchdowns. You can't really cover him in isolation. And he's moving him around now. He's in the slot more than he's ever been before. He's all over the formation. What are you seeing? And he's clearly more confident, but what has allowed him to take flight?
It's definitely the confidence, but this guy is one of the most athletic guys on the field. I don't know if you ever noticed, but every single time the Chargers win, this guy runs down the field and does this backflip like he's in the Summer Olympics in gymnastics. He's one of the most athletic guys on the field. But this, for some reason, he figured something out to be more confident. You're not dropping down some of his numbers. I mean, this guy's had 70-plus receiving yards in 5 straight games. That's tied for the longest active streak in the NFL right now. He has figured something out. Justin Herbert and Quentin Johnson are on the same page. But it all comes back to the mental part of it. He's now confident knowing he can get stuff done. And when you mix that with his athletic ability and his speed, that is a tough challenge for a lot of defenders.
Long time D.C. sports anchor, now out in L.A., Darren Haynes joins us here on Grant and Danny, breaking down the Chargers. All right, let's get to it. Is it as simple as the offensive line got banged up and that's what happened? I guess what I'm looking for is an autopsy from this past week. The whole world thought they would go to the Giants and win because the Giants are terrible and the Chargers are not, and it didn't look that way. It didn't work out that way. What happened?
Well, what happened is we saw what happens when the offensive lineman and Joe Alt goes down. But let's just be real. The Giants' defensive line, they can get after the ball. They got some studs on their defensive line, and they were just exposed in that particular shape or form. But don't sleep on the Chargers. Even though they may not have that offensive line, they still have some key players that can still step up. Amarian Hampton, their running back that they drafted out of North Carolina, over 100 yards, back-to-back games now for him. He's now breaking out as being that number one running back. There's other pieces. If I had to really sum up everything, yes, the offensive line is a huge concern, and that's the foundation for everything. But this Chargers team has a lot of weapons, and they can beat you in so many dang on ways. And if the offense isn't really providing what they could provide, the defense is one of the best in the league. And if the Commanders can't score, they can't win.
Yeah, I want to get to that defense led by Derwin James in just a moment. But one more on the offense. Are you surprised with what they look like schematically? This is a Greg Roman-called offense, a Jim Harbaugh-led team. Last year, you know, it was the 1974 Chargers, basically, ground and pound. This year, it's 2025 all of a sudden. They're spreading teams out and slinging it around. Did you see this in camp? Like, was this the expectation?
Well, we were a little bit surprised week one how much they passed the ball, because last year, when Jim Harbaugh was hired, he was like, we need to run the ball. And then we notice how many times they're throwing the ball. This is something that was a surprise week one. But still, he thinks so highly of Justin Herbert. He thinks he's one of the best quarterbacks and wants to win him a Super Bowl. So it doesn't surprise me that he's going to give him, you know, the green flag to just sling it as much as he wants to. But he also understands that the ground game is important. But it was a surprise to us that they didn't run the ball as much as possible. But now they're leaning on Marion Hampton. He's a rookie. But like I told you, the last couple of games, they've been leaning on him, and he's been very successful in his role. So don't be surprised if they're going to really establish the run a little bit more to set the tone for Justin Herbert to open up the passing game for him to be more successful.
Let's talk about this Chargers defense. They're good. What makes them so special?
Well, what? When Khalil Mack went down, I was like, oh, no, we have, you know, how are we going to work out on our rushing game? But then you have Tuli Polotu, who has basically having a career year on the, you know, it's kind of filling his shoes on the other side of Khalil Mack. He's been playing really well. And then when you have Derwin James, is a guy, you know, when you have a team, you're like, it's that dude, you have that dude on that team. Well, that's Derwin James, and he flies to the ball, blitzing and covers people. This is a defense that will shut down a passing game and will get after you and is relentless to the ball. And so far, they've really, that's been like a huge foundation and consistency for this Chargers team on defense.
Yeah, they're fifth in sack percentage, to your point, Darren. 13th at intercepting passers, number 4 yards per play overall, and number 2 against the pass. I was talking to Logan Paulson on a show I do with him, Take Command, this week about Derwin James and just how long he's been this good. I mean, he basically is as good a box safety as there is in the sport, getting after the quarterback coming downhill, but he also has elite coverage skills as well. I mean, has there been any signs of him slowing down at all? He leads all defensive backs in pressures and sacks since the beginning of last season.
There's no slowing down Derwin James. One, he's a great person, great interview. The only thing that's slowing Derwin James down is the way the rules have changed in the NFL. He had a lot of those like unnecessary roughness, unsportsmanlike penalties, whatever it is, the way he will tackle somebody. That's the only thing slowing him down. He has not slowed down a single beat. This is a guy who is the captain of the team, a leader on the team. He's a vocal leader. He's always getting the guys ready to go. He sets the tone. Khalil Mack was that same way. Khalil's not necessarily the biggest vocal leader, but in regards to how you go out there, work ethic, the way you go out there and you play, and then the vocal leader, that's all Derwin James. He is the heart and beat, not only, I think, of the defense, but probably the entire Chargers team.
I've been saying all week, I think their D coordinator who came from Michigan with Harbaugh, Jesse Minter, is going to be a head coach a year from now. What's he like at the podium, and what are we talking about in terms of his ability to handle people? Because schematically, he's pretty brilliant.
Well, he's not going to be like Jim Harbaugh. You know, he's not going to be a great, well thoughtful out answer to every single question. But the guy knows his stuff. It's a reason why Jim Harbaugh brought him here. He's handled himself with the media outstanding. But then all of a sudden, he's also been successful on defense. So we really haven't really asked him the tough questions in regards to a defense that's necessarily struggling. But he's a cool dude. It'll be sad to see him go as a head coach because he's done so well so far with the Chargers. But he definitely has the pedigree to be one.
Where are they vulnerable right now, if at all?
How many times have I mentioned the offensive line?
Well, I just meant on defense. I meant on defense, Darren. Just on D.
Where are they vulnerable? Ooh, I wish I had an answer for you on that, because I feel like the spot where they're vulnerable was maybe on the D line when Khalil Mack went out. But guys have stepped up, and they still are playing well on pass defense. They're still stopping a run. I don't necessarily see a weakness in regards to this Chargers defense, if I had to be honest with you. I really don't.
What's your prediction for the game?
Oh, man, you're going to put me on the spot there? You're going to have all the D.C. people hate me, man. And I live out here now. What if we go 20-20 tie?
And then you would just be sitting on the fence and you're better than that.
You know what you think.
So it all comes down – Jaden Daniels, and you know, this is the homecoming from him. He's from San Bernardino from out here.
How far is that? Like an hour, right?
It depends on where you live and depends on the traffic, the L.A. traffic.
Yeah, it's about 4 miles, an hour.
Right.
Yeah. Let's just say from L.A., I want to say maybe, gosh, it depends on the time. It could be an hour. It could be an hour and a half. It could be 45 minutes. But it's all SoCal. It's all the Southern California area.
Give me a comp. If we're saying D.C. is L.A., like, give me the suburb-ish that we're talking about here.
Let me think. What will
like
be that?
Gaithersburg or something?
No. So I want to think that, because San Bernardino is like way out, like east of L.A.
Okay.
So
Annapolis.
I want to say maybe. Yeah, I want to say maybe it's an hour and a half. So let's just say if you're in Northern Virginia and you're driving to Baltimore.
Okay. So he's going back to the region, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, got so that's about an hour. That's about an hour in
right,
change.
Right, to your
a little
point,
over an hour
with
from
traffic,
like Northern Virginia.
It could be like double that.
Yeah, when you go matters.
Yeah, yeah. But they're part of Southern California. But they're way out there. But best believe, I'm sure the ticket list for him is going to be hella high. But going back to answer your question, a lot's going to depend on how well he plays. How's that his injury? Is he going to come back and look like the Jaden Daniels that we saw like last year? When he was, you know, when he was a rookie of the year, that's a big thing, because when you have a mobile quarterback like that, that's a threat to a lot of different defenders. And so, if Daniels doesn't play like the Daniels that we're used to playing, I'm going Chargers, man. I'm going 30-21.
Okay.
Darren, good to catch up with you, buddy. I hope it doesn't work out that way, but there's a chance it might. Thank you, dude.
All right, my man.
He's right, though. Thanks for the time, as always, to all of our guests scouting the opponent from those markets that are covering their teams on these Fridays before games. But to Darren, good to have him back on the show. As a guy we got to know very well here in D.C. But I'll say this, Danny. This is a Justin Herbert story. You tell me if they can get to him or not, if they harass him or not, how many pressures, how much contact of him there is. I'll tell you if Washington wins the football game or not. Because if he is allowed to just stand in the pocket and make throws, he will light them up.
Good night, yeah.
This is 300 yards and 3 touchdowns waiting to happen. I just don't see this line being able to do that for him. The stat I keep giving you is the two guys they're starting to tackle are both in the bottom 9, so is the swing tackle. 3 of the basically the 9 worst offensive linemen in terms of the grading early this season on the outside. So if you're Dorrance Armstrong, if you're Jacob Martin, if you're Von Miller, there's not really a good excuse in this one.
This needs to be a feast down. I mean, it has to be. They don't win without consistent pressure. Not like a flare-up where they get a couple of sacks or, you know, you tip a pass. This has to be a constant harassment, in my view, because of how weak their pass defense is and how good these receivers are playing.
I also just summarily reject the idea. Like, I've talked to a couple Commanders fans this week that are like, man, the Chargers are awesome. They got off to the 3-0 start. They just lost to the Giants. Like, this is a very flawed operation right now. Are they good? Yeah, they could beat you, absolutely. And if you don't take advantage of their deficiencies, they will beat you. But the Giants did. And a debuting quarterback on the road, Jackson Dart, on a day where the Giants' offense did very little, was able to do enough to beat them because he was able to run around and make a few plays. So there's really no reason Washington, with Daniels back, shouldn't be able to do more than that offensively and have a shot to win this football game. One guy the Commanders will be without, we know, is Terry McLaurin. Is he going to be missed on Sunday? Was he missed this past weekend? In what ways do they need him back? And how do they mask not having him? We'll get into that next. It's Grant and Danny. We are at Public Bar in DuPont in D.C. in Northwest. We're here until 6:30. Come on out and say what's up.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
A Chargers fan just rolled into
a real life one.
Public Bar. I didn't even know they had any of those around these parts.
Or in L.A.
He says he's the only one. They do exist. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, on the fan, getting ready for the Commanders and the Chargers. They get a win on Sunday at home. They're 4-1. They're sitting pretty in the AFC West. They need it, though, because the Chiefs all of a sudden
look
like they got their act together with a couple straight wins. Chance for them if they beat Jacksonville on Monday Night Football this week to be 3-2, and they will have pulled even with the Chargers if Washington can get a win on Sunday. Now, to L.A.'s credit, because of the season opener, they'll have the tiebreaker, but in a very, very quick period over a couple weeks, the Chiefs will have erased a pretty significant deficit.
And with Rashee Rice on the way back, right, they got Xavier Worthy back. All of a sudden, the offense isn't going to be prolific. It's not your older brother's Kansas City Chiefs with Tyreek Hill and in his prime Travis Kelce, but you get serviceable with some Mahomes magic and a defense that's pretty good. They're the class of the division again.
Speaking of getting receivers back, Washington's going to have to wait to get Terry McLaurin back on the field. McLaurin did not make the trip to L.A. and has now been ruled out for a second consecutive week. This came out yesterday during our show. We talked quite a bit in our final hour, 90 minutes or so, about the optics here of a guy who for years did everything he could to get ready for the season and had great seasons. And this year, I'm not even going to blame him specifically, but in a contract dispute, that clearly didn't happen. The priority was not week one. The priority was not playing football. The priority was not going out and catching 75 balls or getting 1,200 yards worth of offense for Washington. The priority was holding his ground to get paid the money he felt like he'd earned. And for the first time in seven off seasons, he did not do everything he could to get ready for the season. And now you fast forward after three games where he caught the lowest amount of passes he ever had through three games. For the first time ever, Danny, Terry McLaurin will miss a second consecutive game with an injury, and Washington moves on without him, which in and of itself, problematic. But they also don't have their wide receiver three, if you want to call Noah Brown that. I kind of think he's their wide receiver two, and Deebo Samuel's more of this just gadget weapon who's all over the place. But two of their top three wideouts, again, for a second straight week, not playing. Welcome back, Jaden Daniels. Go take on the number four defense in the NFL and do it with one of your planned wide receivers on the field.
Yeah, he's the threat. He's the guy that you have to account for. When he runs, an out and up, or when he runs that little, sort of fake corner post type action that he's gotten open on so many times, or the slant or the bubble screen that he's going to take, a long way, he is a threat. He requires defensive attention. They only have one guy right now who really does that, and that's Deebo Samuel. So wherever he moves, the defense has to account for it. Nobody else is catching it and breaking away. Maybe they can get something for JCM to do that, but he's not really in the game enough, or hasn't been to this point, to start catching balls on the run like Bijan Robinson did this past week. Zach Ertz, for all his uses, is not a big yards after the catch guy that's going to catch, make a bunch of people miss, and ramble down the field for 30, 40, 50 yards. He had one make your guy miss against Green Bay. That was cool. That's like a 16-yard play. He's not dynamic in that way, and it's not his fault. It's not who he is. What do they have that scares you if you're a defense? With all due respect, it ain't Luke McCaffrey, who can run routes, route it up for him. And, Jalen Lane doesn't have enough deposits in the bank. Maybe this is his breakout week, but this is one of those times where a defense can sort of go, I don't really have to respect that fake.
Yes.
Right? Like, if you play pickup basketball against somebody, a dude that has not hit a single three-pointer, some big oaf out there is going to shot fake every time, doesn't alarm you. You don't really respect the fake. But when Ray Allen does it, when Steph Curry does it, you're doing a flyby like Maverick to the tower.
I think after this past week, if I'm the Chargers and I'm looking at Washington's offense, first of all, you start how you start every week, right, with Jaden Daniels clearly. Now, it's a complicated preparation process because you don't know what is Jaden Daniels in terms of health, availability, run game, pass game. Can he just pull the ball down and take off like he normally did? So I think that factor actually is a benefit this week. There's a little bit more mystery to getting ready for Daniels than there typically would be. So let's start with that. But beyond that, because that's always where you're going to start your prep as the opposing team's quarterback when it's a dual threat, you're going to spend a lot of time on Deebo Samuel. You know the offense goes through him. Now, interestingly, he did not practice the last couple of days with this heel issue. I'm awaiting word, and Toby will have updates on this throughout the day as they get out on the practice field, you know, in terms of his availability and just how much he gets done. But you need him to ideally at least be limited today. My guess is it'll be like Bill last week, where Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt missed Wednesday and Thursday, and then he was back on the field Friday and ready to go Sunday. That's kind of the trajectory I'm hoping for here from Deebo. But I think you plan first for Deebo. You account for wherever 19 is. You got to, if it's eye candy, so be it. If we get beat because we're following him around in orbit back behind the quarterback or in this jet action in front of him and, you know, in motion, whatever else, that's what's going to happen. We're going to have to live and die following Deebo around. So that's number one. The other guy, to answer your question, I really believe is Jalen Lane.
I hope so.
Luke McCaffrey does not scare you. This is not a knock on Luke. He's caught a touchdown two straight weeks. But if he runs the route and he gets open and he makes a catch, so be it. He's not going to run past you. He's not going to break a bunch of tackles. I mean, have you seen anything that would make you think, like, that is an elite, elusive weapon that when he gets the ball in his hands, you're cooked?
No, not to this point. And I don't blame him. That's not necessarily why he was here at this point. He's miscast if he's got to be a leading role.
Totally.
At this stage.
And that's not what I'm saying. I'm not slighting him. My point is,
why are you ripping him like that?
He's Chris Moore. You know, he is just a guy that you throw out there that could run around and get open and make a catch, right? The guy that might be a little bit different, though, is Jalen Lane. And I would challenge people to go back to last week and look at the plays that didn't happen, okay? Look at a 30-plus yard. That's a massive explosive where he catches a ball deep downfield for what is basically a third of the football field worth of yardage. It comes back via penalty. Look at the play where he got behind everybody, and he's running free for what should have been an easy walk-in touchdown on the overthrow from Mariota that was an interception. You know, if he had a four-catch, 90-yard touchdown day last week, we might be talking a little bit differently about him. So I think if you're Jesse Minner and you just look at players that have to be accounted for, you probably look at Luke and say, you know, what he gets, the scheme will get him. Chris Rodriguez, you know, what he gains for the most part is going to be blocked up, but the scheme gets him. It's Deebo. It's maybe Jalen Lane because he's explosive, some speed on the outside. And then Krosky-Merritt because he's going to get yards that are not blocked. He's going to create offense.
I think that's the list. And respectfully, that's not a very intimidating list as far as NFL skill guys go. It just isn't. Samuel, I love. Thrilled he's here. He's been their best offensive player. That, to me, is the alpha and omega of it. You know, JCM, as he's if he rips off a home run like Hampton did last week against the Giants to change that game, get them back into it, okay, I'll eat my words, but you're still talking about a running back who's turning 3 into 7. That's valuable. I want that. I'm not anti that, but I don't see that necessarily intimidating the hell out of this Charger defense that, again, I think is pretty good. To me, the X factor would be Lane then, if that's the case. It's not that I'm low on him. It's just that I'd like to see some of these things before I start assigning them to people.
You didn't see him this past week?
I did. I've seen.
You want to see more of them?
Yeah, I'd like to see a couple more deposits. Let's get the double-digit receptions before I say
but
that
I
guy's
think we're
a
having
threat,
two but, conversations, right? You're asking me what players on this offense do I worry about if I'm a coordinator, and I'm trying to answer that question. The straw man way to come back and say, well, but Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt is not Saquon Barkley. Yeah, I agree. I'm just saying, to answer your question, if I'm a D coordinator looking at the guys that will be on the field,
who is an
explosive player, my answer is Jalen Lane, Ja'Cory Krosky-Merritt, Deebo Samuel. That's kind of the list.
And it's my list, too.
I'm not saying any of them are all pros.
Right. Totally with you. And I guess it's my list, too. And it's kind of – and you're starting to see probably my narrative here for this game is that I don't think there's anybody that's scaring the Chargers outside of Deebo Samuel. And one weapon in this league that's scary is containable, especially for a good defense.
But I want to get back to Terry McLaurin for a second, how this all started. Did you feel like they missed him at points last week? Here's what I mean. The only time I really ever thought, damn, that could have been Terry, or wish they had Terry. There was only a point where I thought that, and it was on the Chris Moore drop. And then again on the Chris Moore deep ball where he had a dude blanketed over him like, you know, blankie on my son at the end of the night. Those were the two plays where their vertical passing game was this kind of big 18-wheeler of a starting, stopping possession threat, and they didn't have anyone else to do that. That was the only time throughout the game where I said, it'd be really nice to have Terry here. I didn't feel that on third down, really. I think you got Ertz and you got Debo and you got some ability to move the chains there. I don't know. Were there times, other than those throws to Moore, where you were thinking about McLaurin? And maybe it's just the recency effect of he hasn't been that involved this year. Last year it was a different world. But right now, this moment, if he's out there, how different is it? I don't know.
It is, again, another really fair question. So when they went 1-for-8 on third down in the game, and that's just sort of my, I don't know what how I'd phrase that. I'd go, you probably could have used him there. I couldn't point to a specific
mostly
play.
Mostly third and long.
Yeah, those specific plays where I went, oh, that should have been Terry, or who knows what the options would have been right there. And I'm not trying to dodge the question, but I think your point is well seen. And this is kind of the thing that the drum that I've been beating is that the way he approached this offseason, preseason, beginning of the season, negated his ability to get off to a great start, in my view. Now, he wasn't on a pitch count in week 1 where I thought he would be, so that's a credit to him, I suppose, but still wasn't terribly involved. And, again, now you have an injury. I don't know what the drop-off is with the right-now non-injury Terry, but it felt like this was around the time last year we got his sea legs underneath him, had that huge game against Cincinnati, and then went on to a career year. I was hoping that some of those deposits where that was your glorified preseason, now you're ready to rock and roll. This could have been a week where we really could use you against a quality defense where you go win that contested catch ball, where Jalen does kind of a YOLO situation and you go up over somebody and get that catch and come up and pound your chest and point forward because you got a first down that I don't know that anybody else is doing right now.
Looking at third down, which was the biggest problem they had last week offensively, here were their third down distances that they needed. 3rd and 16 on their opening third of the game. 3rd and 17. 3rd and 8, 3rd and 14, 3rd and 7, 3rd and 8, and then they had 3 third downs that were closer than 7 yards out of the 9, or 8, I guess it was. Mm-hmm. But 5 of them were, 3rd and 13 or longer? I mean, so Terry, no Terry, like, you can't be in 3rd and 13. I don't care if Jaden's your quarterback or Peyton Manning or anybody else. It's just a one-way ticket to a failure, but I guess that's the thing I want people to think about going into this game as we talk about how big of a deal it is not having Terry. It stinks. But in what ways will they miss him most? Maybe that's something we can hit on a little bit later on Grant and Danny. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in on that. It is Friday, which means we will win off the field next. What little thing is going right in our day that we feel good about that nobody else would care about? You can tell us how you were in the win column. We're here at Public Bar. Come hang out with us. We're here until 6:30. It is a field trip Friday, and we're 20 minutes away from giving away Caps tickets ahead of the Beltway Blitz right here on The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Grant and Danny with you on The Fan. And it is time to figure out how you are in the win column on this Football Friday. It's a field trip Friday. We are out and about in D.C. at Public Bar on 18th Street in Northwest. Come on out to DuPont and kick it with us. We will be here until 6:30 talking football. By the way, all of our football conversation is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Our winning off the field segment is not something we do lightly or take for granted around these parts. Mm-hmm. We do it to honor the former existence of Bruce Allen, who meant so much to this organization, because he once said these words.
We're winning off the field, but we got to start winning on the field.
Danny, I will give you a little example of how I'm in the win column.
Oh, okay, please do. Yeah, thank you.
I was coming on out here to Public Bar to do a radio program. I was kind of wondering, where am I going to park? What's going to happen? Am I going to do street parking? Am I going to get a little garage? I found a place to park that is less than a block away. They had an app. All I had to do was scan a QR code. I thought that was going to be confusing. It was like two taps, and they started counting my time just like that. Next thing you know, they told me, all right, you don't need to do anything else. When you leave, based on the cameras and the electronics, we'll know how long you've been here. It'll tell you how much to pay.
Wow.
Technology worked for me to make something easier. It's not always that way.
Oh, no.
Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
The Nevada Supreme Court told the NFL to pound sand. What am I talking about, Grant? Something I am starving for. I am voraciously waiting with a great hunger to read every inch of discovery the John Gruden lawsuit against the NFL. Let me take you back a few years. John Gruden, in a sea of emails that the NFL had or the team had, that Dan Snyder might have had, nobody knows. There were 650,000 emails that the NFL got a hold of due to with this Wilkinson investigation, right? And somebody, we don't know who, Gruden is suggesting that it was Roger Goodell or his office in the NFL that leaked it to defame him and make it so that he couldn't coach ever again. But out of thousands of emails, the only thing that got leaked out, nothing about Snyder, nothing bad here, there, and everywhere, it was only about John Gruden. And that little sliver was the beginning of kind of the pulling of the thread to destroy the sweater, shout out Weezer, that ended up taking down Dan Snyder. I want to read every single word about it, and we got one step closer yesterday. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
Could be really entertaining, really fast.
Dude, it's all I want.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened between whatever that first day of the month, I think it was October 1st and then October 31st, or maybe September 1st, when Snyder was like, angry letter, screw you, and then it's like, I'm selling the team. I want to know.
Let's go to Bargov in Gaithersburg, who wants to tell us how he is winning off the field. You can call us at 800-636-1067 to do the same. What's up, Bargov?
Oh, what's up, fellas? Happy Friday.
Thank you, buddy.
I'm going to keep it more physical and pragmatic today and not esoteric and metaphysical.
Yeah, you lost us last time.
Listen, you're on a different plane, man. Own it. I love it.
Yeah, so long story short, I took a bit of a hiatus from mowing the lawn. It took about 18 months. I've been doing it for about 20 years, so I figured, hey, let me just take a little 18-month break, you know? Kind of deserved. So I took a break, and I was like, all right, enough of this. I got to get back into the game, enough of this retirement stuff. So I get back in the game, and I'm like, all right, I got to take my lawnmower for maintenance. It's not starting. Take it for maintenance, bring it back. I cut it once, but towards the end, it stops. The engine just turns off. I know something's wrong. So I'm like, what the heck, man? I did all this, took it for maintenance. Now I got to take it back to the shop. So I take it back to the shop, I have an appointment to take it back to the shop. In between time, my guy who cuts my lawn when I don't do it hits me up. He's like, hey, man, my lawnmower got stolen. I think I'm out of commission for a couple weeks. So here I am. I can't mow my lawn. My guy got his lawnmower stolen. It might be 2-3 weeks without being mowed. And that hurts for me. That really does. That hurts. And so I'm like, dang. Dude hits me up today. He's like, hey, I'm back in commission. I got you. I'm like, my guy. So I'm getting it cut this weekend. I'm getting it fixed next week. And, I don't have to wait 3 weeks in between cuts. Thanks, guys.
Winning off the field.
There you go.
He goes from no way to cut his grass to having two ways to cut his grass.
He's got his choice.
In the future, or he could have someone do it. The 18-month lawn retirement's a nice thing. I like and prefer to cut my own grass. It is a thing you got to have some time and some energy. Now, I am a beneficiary of the fact that I don't have a whole lot of grass. So those of you out there that have those big yards, a little bit different. Takes me about 10, 15 minutes tops with a push mower, and that's
That's really taking your time checking your phone.
If I stop to have a snack and get a drink or whatever. I mean, I could do it with scissors if I really needed to, but I still prefer that experience. Put the earbuds in, the humming motor, smell a little gasoline, get out there. I'm not, like, going to go full weirdo wide receiver for the Buffalo Bills on you and the Atlanta Falcons and ground with, like, no shoes on or something. I'm not Mac Hollins. But, yeah, I like cutting the grass.
I've told this a million times pretty much every time it comes up. That was my dad's solitude. I never understood. I was like, Dad, it's a chore. I do chores around the house. I would be happy to do that chore. He's like, I'm worried about your feet or the rotary and the blade and the girders and the inline. I'm like, all right, I guess. And he would do it. And that's when I realized. Once I got to a certain age, I realized he was just out of the house for 2 hours. And he was doing something productive.
It's like being in an airplane.
Yeah, so nobody could say peep. No one could say peep because you're doing something good for the family, for the house, whatever. And he was so happy. Pig in mud.
Eric's in Annandale, home of the Adams. What's up, Eric? How are you?
Hey, how are you guys? So, I've been riding motorcycles for 40 years, and I needed a new helmet. So I went to the local Harley dealer and looked at the helmets because I had seen them online. And the one that I wanted was on sale for half price. Not only that, they were having other sales, so I got an all-season jacket, really nice, half price, and rain gear for 25% off. So anyway, at the cash register, they were selling black carry bags, pretty nice bags, for $55. But for every $100 that you spent, it knocked off like $5, $10, $15. Ooh. So my total was, and after $400, it was free. My total was $401. So yep. I am
winning off the field.
Couldn't have done it any better.
Wow.
You drew that up. You went out. You executed your plan. You got in the end zone. You look back at that first 15 script.
And by the way, it's so relatable to me. You know how much up I've spent to get free shipping over the years?
You just keep going. Or I'll tell you the one is like a delivery charge. Mm-hmm. You're trying to get something from like the Chinese takeout place or whatever, and it's like they don't deliver unless it's $18 or something.
So well,
like,
we're going to get to $18.
All right, we'll do one more egg roll. Yeah. All right, a can of Coke. Let's go to Eric in Leesburg on Grant and Danny. What's up, Eric? How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, buddy.
Just went to Costco, got a hot dog and a soda, discovered that Costco switched from Pepsi to Coke in their soda machine. So therefore,
winning off the field.
Did they really?
What?
Pepsi to Coke at Costco. That's a development. And the right decision made, by the way.
It's like moving from Maryland to Virginia. I mean, that's amazing.
By the way, what you sleep on is having the ability to eat a hot dog.
Yep.
And have that drink.
Yep.
Get some ice cream if you want to.
Yep.
Maybe eat one or two other things at Costco for like $9. They are the Atlanta Falcons of concessions.
It is a staple and a source of pride.
I did the story years ago on a double play, but like the Costco hot dog price has not changed since 1987.
Whatever the year is, yeah.
Or something like that. And the whole bit is like, people come to us for hot dogs because they know we're not going to change the price, and by God, we're not going to change it. I'm like, I need more people like you.
I need $6,000 worth of dog food.
Elijah's in D.C. What's going on, Elijah? How are you?
What's going on, fellas? Thanks for taking my call. But I have a 4-year-old daughter, and now it feels like she has the wire just to hang out a little bit more. So the other day, she goes, can we get barbecue? And I was like, yeah, this is cool, man.
What a moment.
So, you know, we went to go check out first movie, you know, my wife and I, and you know, just getting prepared for the movies, like, so much. I was cool for, like, 45 minutes, and I kind of, like, you know, went to sleep. But we saw, the Gabby movie, and we're doing way more stuff, so it's pretty slick.
Love that, man. Good
for winning you. Off the field.
Those are those nice little wins where you're like, this is kind of how I drew it up. I'm buying my little guy a Tom Wilson jersey last night, getting the kids a couple of, Slapshot toys or whatever. And I'm like, you know, there were a lot of years where I was dreaming about getting to do this with my kids.
I don't want to gloss over, but the kid asking to go eat barbecue.
It's big.
That is a development because, you know, we had some picky eaters in my house, and it's now the kids are kind of coming around to the idea that delicious food is delicious. Opens up a whole new world.
I found barbecue early on in my household was very popular with the kids. Not yours?
No, not at all. It's seriously? only within the last 6 months, my oldest is like, I want to go to Stupid Good after a game.
So when they turned down chicken or steak or whatever the protein was, they always were kind of, if we did like some kind of pork barbecue or some kind of like a brisket or whatever, for whatever reason, it always played early on, which was a big deal for your boy. Beltway Blitz is next. The head of the Blitz, covering the teams in town you care the most about. As soon as we come back on Grant and Danny, we are giving away tickets to see the Caps on opening night next Wednesday against the Bruins at Capital One Arena. We are in DuPont at Public Bar. We'll be here till 6:30. Come hang out. You're listening to The Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.